Thank you very much to Bank of St. Lucia for sponsoring Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International. And my guest today joins me from very, very, very far away, somewhere in... Where exactly are you, by the way?
Well, I'm in Hungary now.
All the way, my goodness. Thank God for technology. So Deja John is joining us all the way in Hungary. We have so much to talk about in such a short space of time. So I don't know how we could compress because you've done so many things. St. Lucians might be more familiar with you, more so in the fashion world. But I guess we'll talk about that as we progress. But let's start from the beginning. Yes. Deja, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Well, I'll say this now. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night to everybody around the world, especially our Caribbean people and my lovely St. Lucians. Thank you, RCIA, for this opportunity. About myself. Well, most of you know me in the modeling world a couple of years ago, and of course, I broke off into the family life. And that's been me for the last couple of years until last year when I decided to, publish a book, because why not? traveling, going to school, family life, that's just been me for.
That's pretty amazing. So let's talk about while you were in St. Lucia. What were you involved with, apart from the fashion world, what were you involved with? Oh, we seem to have just a slight connection problem. That's what happens when you're using a technology. Things seem to work, vikey-vi, like we say. But like we said, if you're just joining us on Radio Caribbean International, we've just been talking to Deja John, who joins us via our online platform, which seems to have frozen. It happens sometimes. It happens. So let me see if we could get in contact with her once again. Let's see how we could reconnect. Yes. Okay, I see it. Let me see. Let me see. We got this one. Yes. Let me see. Yeah, you're back. Okay, I do have three of you. Let me try and remove one of you. Okay, cool. All right, yeah, we're good. So, yes, we had a simple issue with the connection. Okay, so, yes, we were talking about while you were in St. Lucia, what were you involved in?
Very heavily into fashion, mostly, to be honest. That was me. But then I also was part of the Leos, the clubs.
Okay.
It's a smaller group. Way back then, but I've been out of the country for it should be 10 years by now. So
nice.
It's from a distance. I've been doing other things and trying to represent home wherever I go.
What led you to leave St. Lucia?
Oh, I got my Taiwan scholarship.
Oh, nice.
To Ming Chuan University. And that was a great couple of years. As a matter of fact, I would say that they played a part in my literary journey, because they had these competitions in the arts where you could enter poetry, short story, photography, and you get a chance to win. And the last, for the 3 years, my last 3 years, I did enter and I did place. Successfully. It was a great experience.
So how's your Mandarin? It's good?
Oh, it's being replaced with Hungarian, which is even harder.
Oh my goodness. How do you speak? So how many languages do you officially speak fluently?
I would say officially English and now Hungarian, because the Chinese, without, using it kind of takes a back. Although there are times I do meet a couple Chinese or Taiwanese persons and I try to interact, and then that's how you know you're forgetting.
Yeah.
Your brain is replacing But yeah, I would say officially these two.
I could say ni hao, and that's about it. Don't ask me. I'm not even sure if I said it right.
Ni hao is fine, because that shows you're friendly, you're open, and they will try to communicate with you.
Great. Yeah. That's amazing. So while you were in Taiwan, what is it that you pursued your studies in?
I did it in business and trade management, believe it or not. Completely different field. And that was my bachelor's degree. While there, like I said, I tried to represent home in whatever way possible. We had a really close, I would say, Saint Lucian community then. We did many activities together. Also, while there, my uncle Kendall John, Donald Kendall John, he had his documentary done. So we had it translated in Chinese and viewed it there. So really trying to put Saint Lucia out there on the map wherever I go. And seeing that now I'm here in Hungary, slowly trying to get that little Saint Lucian community. Well, I'm probably the only one Saint Lucian, but there are a few other Caribbean people here, as well as the African community. Black girls have their own chat, and you just try to put yourself out there, represent your country wherever you go. And
That's
trust me, coming from the Caribbean, a lot of people are like, oh wow, you're from the Caribbean. Where exactly? And you just educate them because most likely they'll put you in those popular islands. I won't name them, but
Yes. What part of Jamaica that's from? We know. We know. But that's pretty amazing, and it's so amazing that you've traveled so much. And like you rightfully say, you represent Saint Lucia to the fullest all over your social media and everything Saint Lucia that you could get your hands to. You get that's pretty amazing. Which is, you were actually mentioned in my last Youth Unplugged. Johanna, who's also an author and her coloring book, she mentioned you, and she's like, yeah, somebody all the way so far away bought my book. And I automatically knew it was you. What is it like? What is it like that, representing Saint Lucia all over, no matter where you go? I mean, how does it make you feel?
It makes me feel good because a lot of people already have a great perception of the Caribbean. It is beautiful. Why are you here? Why would you leave such a beautiful territory? And blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, to meet people like you and let you know more about us, because there are smaller islands that you don't know about. And yes, we're beautiful, and few people get to come to our islands specifically. It's a very rare thing, especially for a Hungarian family to be in Saint Lucia, which did happen with my dad once. He was on the airport and he heard one word, Igen, which is Hungarian for yes. And he knew, oh, that's a Hungarian family. And they don't know anything about Saint Lucia. To show them pictures and, just tell them about our culture, oh, their mind, they're blown.
That's pretty amazing. You also got let's skip over to into fashion. You got exposure into the fashion world, and I'm very much, should I say, to the real fashion world and to expose to the big life. What was that like, and how did that happen?
I did my moments at home, and did some modeling in Taiwan as well. There was one occasion I helped a lady in Bali, and then there was that big moment in France with Vincent Magdoum, which I truly appreciate him for. That was amazing because it was a spur of the moment kind of thing. I was actually in the UK with my partner Adam. He had his own conference, and my aunt, Auntie Bernadette, she called me over, and she's like, Vincent Magdoum is looking for models for a show. Do you think you can make it? And I was like, Adam? Yeah, sure. Just hop across. And bam, just did what I had to do, make it happen. Just have to go with the flow. Just like today, you just go with the flow.
Indeed. What was that like for you, comparing doing modeling in Saint Lucia and then getting exposed to literally the mecca of the fashion industry? What was that like for you? Were you nervous, like, oh my God, I'm actually in Paris? I can't do anything wrong. This could make a break. What was it for you in terms of emotions?
Wow, what else can I learn here? I wasn't really nervous per se. It's just that you learn so much and you meet so many cool people with different backgrounds, and you just want to get to know them, and they want to know about you as well. So that helps kill the nerves. And once you make that connection with other people, other models, it just becomes easier and it makes the show flow mm-hmm. because we're there to encourage each other. And that was the great, great moment to leave off on because I haven't really done anything since then.
Which is what I was going to ask you next is, are you going to ever think about going back into that industry? Or I guess now your new role as a mother has kind of put that on a back burner. I don't know.
On a back burner, but I do think that if I ever return home, because we have so many beautiful girls back home, it would be great to see what I could do or how I could help with them, guiding them towards that goal. Because I'm sure there are a number of girls who would like to get out there and be on that big stage and fly around the world, etc., you know.
I know if it, I guess with every experience, it teaches you a life lesson. What did the modeling on the big stage, what did it teach you?
Loads. Honestly, you get to, like I said, you get to connect with others and see how much you have in common with them, what are their struggles, what do they love, what are their goals. What have they sacrificed to reach where they are? And that really helped. It really helped. Even in my interview for my Taiwan scholarship, I mentioned all these years ago that modeling has really helped. You know, it helps you to build your confidence. It helps you to stay focused, to get rid of all the noise. Because, you know, positive and negative will come at you. And, yeah, just learn so much, and you just hope that later on in life you can pass it on.
Yeah.
To other people.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's pretty amazing. Deja, you've traveled the world. You enjoy. You've enjoyed life, or are you enjoying life? How has these experiences, you know, built you as a person? And what are some of the things that you could share with people, you know, to say, this is why you probably need to come out of your comfort zone and explore the wider world?
I would say traveling and meeting different people with their varying backgrounds, it really teaches you to appreciate where you come from. Because when you're home, you know, you just know, that's home. You take a lot for granted. Until you're far away and you can't get that little, that green fig and saltfish. You can't get you can't get all these guava jam and all of that, and you're like, oh, in my country we have this really good delicacy, and you taste something and it's like, oh, it tastes like something from home, and you make that comparison, and sometimes you connect with people over food.
Wow.
Over food.
Wow.
Because you're like, yeah, this tastes like, you know, that chicken, yeah, it tastes like stew chicken from San Jose. Wow, that's a spot. It's a spot. But yeah, and I guess that's what brought me to use St. Lucia as my base for writing this book, because everybody you meet, they're always curious about, where are you from? Because they look at you and they're not sure. They always look at me and they're not sure. They can't place. And then when you tell them, they're like, oh, wow, and they become more interested. So why not put St. Lucia on the spotlight again in your book?
Fair Helen's Midnight. I love the name. Let's talk about it and how the whole concept came about. Because like you said, this is a year in the making. How did you decide, I'm going to write a book?
Actually, the process of actually finding a publisher and, you know, getting an editor and everything done, that was a year. But this actually started way back, I would say, like, 2017, 2018 there. I was visiting home and I brought the idea across to my uncle, Kunan John, who is the illustrator of the story. And I said, you know, I want to write a book about home. And during that year, I was actually traveling, just traveling, seeing different places and seeing that, you know, people are interested in where I'm from. But then life happens. Continue traveling, you have a family, and you put the idea back. You forget about it. And then last year, around the first lockdown here in Hungary, I was like, hey, you're a mom. Okay, what's your mom and? And that's what made me reflect on ideas. And I was like, okay, now is the time. Do it. Sit down and do it. And that's when I started.
Let's talk.
I started my own thing and we started the process.
Let's talk about the book itself. What's the basis behind it? What's the storyline behind it?
It's a coffee table read, meaning, you know, you sit down, you read for like, taking a break for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to embrace the, we usually go to our phones and computers, social media and whatnot. But I'm saying, you know, take a break from that. Take a moment for yourself. And enjoy some words, some visuals, and even, you know, write about it, how it makes you feel and what you want to do next. That's what you're supposed to feel from this book. And obviously don't take things for granted, you know, look at your home, look at your island. And for all of those abroad, look at this beautiful place. Okay, where is your beautiful place? What colors attract, you know, makes you happy? You know, I mean, some people would say, you know, purple, oh, it's a depressing color and whatever. But for others, purple brings them a lot of joy, you know? So it's for adults.
It's an
illustrated book.
Okay.
I'm not saying that, you know, teens and kids can't watch it, but it's mainly for adults and it's a quick read. Because we are always trying to hustle and get our, you know, all our tasks and errands done. So why not just have that time for yourself? And, you know, enjoy something colorful.
Now, I'm trying to get a little bit more of, you know, the details without giving away the full storyline. you've been doing very well at evading that. So I'm gonna nudge you directly now. Wait, what's the story about?
Okay. Fair Helen, obviously, is based on the other name for St. Lucia, the Helen of the West. And she's disturbed about things that are happening within her. So she decides to take a human form and walk through her island and reflect as she walks through the good, the bad, all the changes that have happened. And at the end, she celebrates that in her own way. She truly celebrates it. And she says at the end that she would continue to make time to go through herself every now and then, because we neglect that, you know, for after a while, you know, life hits us. And as much as we say, oh, we're going to go back and give ourselves time to look at all that we've accomplished, all that we've been through, we don't, we forget, because so many things are coming at us. So in this book, at the end, she really does make that promise to herself to continuously come back and look at, you know, what she has done and where she would like to go or what has happened and what she's hoping will happen, basically.
That's pretty amazing to take that, to give Helen life and, you know, let...
Basically.
That's pretty amazing to take that, to give Helen life and, you know, let her... to analyze everything that is going on in our society. And it's kind of really prevalent to, especially what is going on right now in St. Lucia. So, I mean, I hope a lot of people go out and buy it and take the time out to reflect. And, you know, it's pretty amazing. And I could see a whole movement coming out of this. But when you initially wrote it, those emotions of reflection, those emotions of we need time for ourselves, were those the things that were you wanted to resonate with people reading the book?
Yes, very much so. I think I was in either the Philippines or Bali, and I practiced yoga, the exercise, and that gives you time to meditate and really get in tune with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously have time for some prayers and reflect on where you come from and where you're going. And with the book itself, she also reflected on traditions. And there are a lot of traditions back home that you would say that are slowly dying. But I'm happy to see that there are so many others that are coming up. You know, I'm proud of, we have a lot more brands using the Madras even. There are so many products I want to get when I get home. You know, I'm proud of these traditions that are upcoming. And I would hope that those that are dying out, maybe it could be modernized in some way. But all of that is in the book for people to see and experience and ponder on it for themselves as well. Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. Any plans on part two? Fair Helen's second reflection, or am I too far in the future?
Honestly, seeing that this is my first book, I want to see how it goes, how people respond to it. So yes, I would love everyone's feedback once they've gotten the book to see, you know, what's next. I'm open to the opportunity. I'll put it that way.
Let's talk about the back ends of publishing a book, because the program is again towards discussing, you know, issues and how you could go about getting your life in order, so to say. What was it like, you know, trying to get a publisher for this book? Because, you know, we live in a world where everything is self-publishing now, KDP. Mm-hmm. What was it like, you know, going out and looking for your own publisher?
Okay, first of all, be prepared to handle rejection. You're going to learn. Not everybody's going to tell you yes automatically. But still, I'm saying get up and do it. Send out the proofs and let them see the drafts. Let them see. And, you know, you spread your seeds and one must catch. And this is what happened. Doris Publishing, they were like, yes, we're interested. It was an all-in-house. It is an all-in-house publishing company. And they just started, you know, immediately, okay, send us our stuff, let's work with it, here's the plan. They're willing to work with you. Once you find a publishing company that is willing to work with you, that helps. If you're going to self-publish, it would be good to get into certain groups, communities that can help you with this process, because support is definitely needed, very much needed, whether it be your family, your friends, an actual company, support is needed.
What do you think was your biggest challenge when writing this?
Writing the book. Seeing that I've been writing for such a long time, so from A-level, I call them my scribbles. I would just sit there and scribble. Any of my friends from back then, you know, just scribble stuff, pack it away, whatever. I would say it's the editing. Because sometimes, you know, the editor is like, no, that is the editing. Because sometimes, you know, the editor is like, no, that won't work. You have to try to reword. And you're like, but these are my words. Like, no, you have to rephrase it and whatnot. But the thing with poetry, you have a bit of leeway. You can get away with certain things. So that was pretty tough. And then also, if you're going to have illustrations in your book, make sure you get someone who understands you. And that's why I stuck to a Saint Lucian who knows the island through and through, who was great at you know, bringing Saint Lucia to life, because I couldn't let, and I'm as much as, you know, it's great to have a foreign publishing company do the job for you, I couldn't let them do the illustrations, because they don't understand. They don't know the vibe of Saint Lucia, you know? Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. That's definitely amazing. And with all that you accomplish, you know, how do you balance that and being a mom? Because I know that must be challenging, especially with a toddler and changing nappies and all that. Oh, how do you balance?
How do I balance it? Thank God for a great partner. A great partner, and I have some really good friends who are very supportive. And since I'm here, my Hungarian family, they're very close with us, so they're always there to help me through, you know, to take care of my son or you know, anything, they're there. They are there. And then my family back home, a call away, literally a call away. And my dad and my mom, they would say, yes, I'm a flight away.
Wow. how many hours is it, though, to get from St. Lucia to Hungary?
About 10 hours. Not so bad. Because you stop in the UK. It's not so bad. You stop in the UK, then
wow. Okay, all right. Yeah, I guess it's not all that bad. What next? I mean, you said maybe not a book right now, but what next for Deja?
What next for Deja? I'm one of those who always likes to sit there and be like, oh, what about this idea? You just write this down. What about this idea? So you have all these ideas written down in a book and you just go and you figure out which one you think is possible at this point in your life, which one you think you can make happen, mm-hmm. considering everything else that is happening around you. Yeah, there's so many possibilities. I don't know, solutions, you know, just do it. Write up 5, write up 10 ideas and really narrow it down to the one that you think in that moment you can make happen, and you do it.
And I wanted to say something that's borderline controversial. I mean, in our society, we are taught to be conservative by the book, you know, not to take a risk. And can you say that you're happy that you didn't follow the rules and decided, listen, I'm going to enjoy whatever opportunity comes my way?
Well, my parents would always tell you, Deja, she's always been, you know, a rebel of her own cause. My fellow companions at university and teachers there too would probably say the same thing, you know, always marching to the drum of my own beat. So there's nothing wrong with stepping out of that box, getting uncomfortable.
Yes.
You learn things about yourself. Yes, you're going to fall hard, but you pick up, you keep going. It is, you just learn from it. Just have to learn and keep going, right? There are many ideas that I've tried and they have failed, but never stopped me from trying something else, you know, because you never know which one is going to be that one for you. And it may not even be one. You might be good at many things, better than me. You know, but you have to first try it. And I know back home we tend to be like, you know, you have to go to school, you have to do this, that, there are all these steps that you have to take, but no. And being surrounded by people who are very unorthodox in their own way, their own life, that actually helps to be like, hey, look at this person, they took a risk. And they're doing fine. Okay, this person failed, but look at them now, you know. So, and you have to support each other. That's very important.
Yeah, that support system and you're having surrounding yourself with the right people is very key to success. And, you know, so thank you for that. I was going to ask you what advice you're going to leave to the young people, but you trust me, every time you made a point, you gave some advice immediately. So I don't even have to ask that. Deja, we got to thank you now and take the opportunity now to give people your social handles for your book. Where can they purchase the book? Prize, Tutsa. You still remember Pato, right? You know what to... Yeah, remember that. Yeah, remember. All right, cool.
Well, it's available on Amazon, Google Books, and Dorrance Publishing. On their website, they have it. My social handling for the book specifically, it's at fairhelens_midnight. And my personal one is dbase24. That's how you can reach me.
Any plans of actually having the book physically in store in St. Lucia soon, or am I going too far?
No, I'm currently working on that because I literally launched a book this week. So, yeah, we have to get review books out and try to contact these different companies back home to see if I can get the hard copy on there. The ebook, we're working on it to get it onto the Amazon, and if you're following me, then we would obviously keep you updated as to what's happening. Yeah.
Deja, thank you so much for taking this time. Because it's like, what, like 10 o'clock by you right now? So I know it's probably like your bedtime now. So I know it's probably like your bedtime. So, you know, we want to say thank you so much. And we look forward to having you on again to discuss, you know, the success of the book. All right?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, RTI family. Thank you, Ron.
Hey! Of course, Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International is brought to you the kind compliments of Bank of St. Lucia.